Hello, everybody. My name is Paul, and welcome to the Stormkeep. I'm joined today by Knight Listor Daniel
Hey, Daniel.
and Knight Podcastor Mergonk.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Today, we are going to be talking about drops and battalions. I feel like this is a topic that is very confusing for new players. They don't seem to understand what drops even are. It's kind of a nebulous term that's not defined in the rules anywhere. It's a community-created term, and the battalion system is pretty confusing in 3rd edition, honestly, when you're looking at how to construct a list. It's not obvious which battalions you should use, why you should use them, if every unit needs to go in them. So this is meant to be like a general knowledge video. Before we dive into the topic of the day, I want to give a shout out to our podcast sponsor, Kaiju Gaming Lounge.
Hey, so our podcast is sponsored by Kaiju Gaming Lounge, which is based out of Orlando, Florida. It's run by one of a great friend of the channel. His name is Carl Rohr. You might have seen him on our Slaves to Darkness review. Great guy who, honestly, he builds communities. Like, his store is great and all, but the guy is just amazing. Like, that, you know, you can buy a GW product from anywhere, but buying from Kaiju helps support a really great guy who, like I said, just builds communities, has really brought up our Florida scene. And on top of that, you know, he sponsors us, which is great. If you use code Stormkeep, you'll get 15% off of your order. And if you are an international order international person from outside the US, do try to get with him on Discord to help work out that ordering. But he can do so because what you really want is our Stormcast merch, right? We got our measuring sticks. We do have a custom. It's a 7-inch and a 9-inch stick, right? So you can see it in the picture there. We got Annihilators at that 7-inch, away from that good old Bloodthirster painted by awesome guy Noel as well. And they're available on KaijuGamingLounge.com, as well as our Stormkeep dice, which are also pictured, you know, getting that 10-inch charge, about to roll 10 more of them and, maybe delete them, you know? So great guys at Kaiju. Please support them. It does support us, and, they're great people to support.
Yeah, those 7-inch markers, those are going to be handy for dropping units in against Khorne, huh? With their special new rules about staying within 8 inches of an enemy unit to disable their ward, that should be pretty handy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's dive into today's main topic. What are drops? In most match play battle packs, players use this concept called alternating deployment. And you can see a little screenshot from the core rules here. Alternating deployment effectively is one player deploys a unit and then the other player deploys a unit. And you go back and forth until there's no units left to deploy. And a drop is a community term used for a single deployment. So if your list has 8 units that you need to deploy, you have 8 drops. Pretty simple. Some core battalions have the unified ability, which allows you to deploy all the units in the battalion at the same time. The most common one of these is the Battle Regiment, which is available to all armies. But some armies, like Stormcast, have their own core battalions that have the unified rule. So this can mix up the number of drops you have. For example, if you have 8 units, but 5 of them are in a battle regiment, then you would have 5 units dropping all at the same time for 1, and then 3 more units for a total of 4 drops. And then there's this ability here that is common in most generals' handbooks, battle packs, called Stealing the Initiative. Instead of rolling off in the first round, the player who finished deploying their army first gets to control who goes first in the first round. So you can choose, I want to go first, or my opponent can go first. And that's a very, very powerful ability. I'm sure you guys can speak to your experience using it to go first and to go second and fish for a double turn. It's very, very powerful.
Oh, man. When you're controlling the tempo of the game, you are truly, like, it's something that affects the rest of the game. A lot of people are like, oh, it just, you know, affects turn one. But really, like, the first 2 turns of the game are going to be what decides the game in most situations.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's not just about going first, right? It's about going second sometimes. Like, that's a really, really powerful thing to try. Because in Age of Sigmar, we roll off in round 2 to see who goes first. So if you go first in the bottom of round 1, second in the bottom of round 1, you can potentially go first in round 2 and get a double turn, right? The dreaded double turn that so many people dislike. But you can actually control the tempo and try to use that as a win condition, right? And because, you know, when you get to really, really skilled opponents, they'll know that that's a winning condition, and they'll have to play more reserved. They can't overextend, right? The player going first will have to be like, well, if they get a double turn, the game's over, so I have to brace for that, you know? And it creates a very interesting tension and decision-making in that first round.
What I really like its ability to do is it determines whether you are going to go for an overpowering turn or a trading turn. Like, so one of the weaknesses of my Annihilator list, for instance, is that I have so many drops that if my opponent makes me go second, It is always in a you go, I go position, meaning whatever I drop will most certainly die to the counter strike because I'm always trading. I do something and I wait for them to do some counter reaction. Whereas if I was in a position where I outdrop them, I could be in a position where I drop my annihilator second and then maybe they live and get to do another round of damage, which would be really devastating. So you have to think about things like that.
So in general, I would say you want fewer deployments, right? I think that's a rule of thumb. The fewer deployments, the better, because controlling the tempo is so important. The player with the fewer drops gets to determine who goes first. So fewer drops in general makes it more likely that you can steal the initiative and choose who goes first. Since the game is mostly decided in the first, two or three rounds of the game, because everything's so lethal and combats don't tend to stick around for three rounds. Going first can allow you to take an aggressive lead on the board and destroy key units, but then going second can put you in a position to get a double turn and just win the game almost instantly. So there's pros and cons to going first or second, but either way, having the choice is what matters. So lower drops is generally a good thing. So how do we fill a battle regiment? Well, let's take a look at the core battalions. So there's three core battalions. I know that there's six in the book or however many. There's really just three. And arguably, there's just two because one of them is just a variation on the other one. So the main battalion in the game is called the Battle Regiment. It requires 1 to 3 leaders. Some of those can be 10 or 10 wound leaders. The rest of it have to be less wounds. 2 to 5 troops and 0 to 1 behemoth or artillery. And this all is one drop. So if you can fit your whole list in this specific format, you have a one drop list, which is the fewest number of drops possible, and it's very likely that you will be able to choose who gets to go first in round one. The second battalion that is really worth noting is the Warlord Battalion. The reason this one's worth noting is because it doesn't have the one drop ability, but instead you get a bonus enhancement and a command point. So instead of going for that one drop, if you think, you know what, I can play second, and if I'm forced to go second, I can play first if I'm forced to go first. I'm okay not having the choice. I want more value. I'm going to get more spells on my wizards, or I'm going to learn more prayers on my priests, or I'm going to get another artifact or another holy command if you're playing Stormcast. More value is what the Warlord Battalion offers. And that one requires somewhere between 3 to 6 leaders. So it could be, all 6 leaders that are the maximum amount in your list, and then 1 to 2 troop units. There's no reason to fill more than the minimum requirements in this. There's no benefit. So it kind of seems weird that they would even have the option to put more units in this. I think this is a strange thing. I've never really been able to figure out why you can put more units in this battalion when there's no benefit for being in a battalion in general. The last battalion is kind of just a variant of the Warlord Battalion, the Command Entourage. It's a warlord, but it just doesn't require a troop. So sometimes, especially in this season when we have so many battalions that utilize our troops, we don't want, maybe we don't have a spare troop unit to fulfill the minimum requirements of a warlord. So in that case, you go with the Command Entourage. Battalions in Age of Sigmar are not necessary. You do not have to put your units into any battalions. If you have a unit outside a battalion, that's totally okay. I think in 40K, maybe you guys can correct me on this, but I think in 40K you have to be in a detachment, otherwise you lose command points or something like that. Is that right?
It's not considered a what is it, battle ready?
No, I
Basically,
think in 40K they changed it, so it has to be in
well,
detachments, but the more detachments you take, the less command points you have. It's the opposite.
okay, but units have to be in detachments in that game, right?
Yes, correct. For
Okay.
match play, yes.
Right. So in Age of Sigmar, that's not the case. And I think maybe when they were designing this, they thought that might be the case, because that's like there's no reason to put more units in a warlord or a command entourage, because you can just not be in a battalion and there's no difference. So when you guys are building lists, do you tend to focus on the battle regiment or the warlord or seasonal battalions, or what do you guys really like? These are the two main ones, right? Which one do you prefer?
I mean, besides Battle Regiment, because it's going to be, just so core. Obviously, Warlord, like it's bonus enhancement and command point. Like, you're almost never taking Command Entourage when you can take Warlord.
Oh,
It's
totally. But
extremely specific situations.
what I mean is, when you're building a list, do you typically go for the battle regiment route and try to have as few drops as possible, or do you go the warlord route to get extra enhancements?
I typically go to the Battle Regiment route, but that's because a lot of lists I play rely on tempo. As opposed to like counter dropping, a lot of the lists I play are they have an idea of what they want to do that relies on me controlling the flow of the game where I can.
I think, yeah, I prefer reactive lists. I think those work with Warlord really well. That's where I go. But the mainly, I don't even think of them as like reactive. The way I think of lists is, does your list need a unit that needs to be buffed so you can sort of push up that unit, be ready for a double with screens or what have you, and have that unit sort of be survivable and like sort of base your plan around a couple of units. And if that's the answer, then you probably go Battle Regiment. If your units are largely independent and you're okay with trading with your opponent constantly, just reacting to what they do, I think you go Warlord for the extra enhancement because, why not? They're gonna make you go first anyway. So you're in a lot of the matches, like with my Raptors, and I know I'm gonna be going first. So because my opponent's gonna make me do that. So that's a I guess a nice notion to have when building your list in a Warlord or Command Entourage.
Yeah, when people see Stormcast shooting, they tend to think, oh, there's no way I'm going to let them get a double turn. I can't let that happen. So they have to go first. But there are some matchups, though, like when you're playing against Lumineth right now, they want to take that first turn and they want to cast all their defensive spells. So there's no cut and dry answer. Let's look at the impact that Season 2 rule changes have had on this topic of battalions and drops. Two major changes have been introduced. The first one is Galatian Champions. Basically, sub-commanders that aren't unique. Any hero with less than 10 wounds, no mount, and not unique gains the Galatian Champion keyword. They gain the Key to Victory ability, which means they can't be attacked with a missile weapon if they're within 1 inch of any battle line unit. So your champions can just walk around the battlefield and not get shot anymore, which is really, really good. There's enhancements specifically for champions. None of them are really that good except for Tunnel Master, which is incredibly strong, which allows a champion to just teleport anywhere onto the battlefield more than 9 inches from an enemy once per game. That's very, very strong and is very good for scoring battle tactics. So it seems like most lists, when they can, try to take at least one champion these days. They're very useful. There's a new unit type called Infantry. It's all units that have less than 5 wounds, no mount, and they're not a leader, behemoth, or artillery. Unlike the champion, you do not gain a keyword, but infantry can fit into 3 very powerful battalions. There's some other changes here you can see on this slide. We're not really going to focus on these too much, aside from the heroic actions, but we'll talk about them when we get into the champion-specific battalion. So let's look at the new battalions in Season 2, starting with what I think is the most impactful one overall because it opens up a lot of units to be viable. This one is called the Galatian Veterans, and it requires anywhere between 2 to 4 infantry units. The bonus you get from putting those units in the battalion is that models can attack in combat if they're within half an inch of a model that's within half an inch of an enemy. And we call this effectively fighting in 2 ranks. This is like 40K style fighting. It's a little more restricted because it's only half an inch instead of 1 inch, but it's effectively the same thing. If you're base to base with a model that's in combat, you get to fight. That's the really simple way of doing it. This is really only useful for units that have 1 inch range, but and also have more than 5 models. So for Stormcast, that would typically be a reinforced unit. For example, Vanquishers are not capable of fighting in 2 ranks right now. When you have 10 models together, their 1 inch range is a liability. But if you put them in Galatian Veterans, well, now all 10 of them can be attacking, which makes it a lot easier to use that unit because you can buff it up easier. You can give it bonuses that scale better with a higher model count. Units that already have more than 1 inch range, like Protectors, Grand Hammers, they get basically no benefit from this. There's like really odd situations that might arise, but pretty much no benefit. So there's no need to use this battalion with them. So some units that I've really enjoyed putting into this battalion are, reinforced evocators. A big squad of 10 evocators can do a ton of damage with their grand staffs, and then that lightning arc blast can just destroy units. Annihilators, like shield annihilators, are really good to put in this because normally their 1 inch range is a big limiter. That's the kind of unit you want to reinforce because it only has 9 wounds. So reinforcing it up to 18 actually makes it feel like it's a durable unit. You can actually take advantage of that 2+ save. Vanquishers and Sequiturs, they can strike with their 1 inch weapons, so you can reinforce them. They can be a pretty good screening unit, but then also deal somewhat decent damage. And this doesn't even have to be like a unit that takes advantage of this battalion. You can just stick random Vanquishers, Sequiturs, Aether Wings in here, anything in order to fill the battalion. Let's say you want to use a squad of 10 Evocators, and you have another unit of Aether Wings in there, just in order to fill the minimum requirements. Like, yeah, it can be even a shooting unit. It doesn't have to be a unit that gets any benefit from this battalion. So the season's a few weeks in already. Have you guys used this battalion a lot in your list building, or is this one that you typically skip?
I mean, for me, this one will be fast. It's It's something I skip. I haven't really, I don't really like playing with slower units as much. So it's not something I'm taking. Like, I like Dracolings a lot. I like Dracots, and of course I like dragons. But I do see the value in this because it makes some of our units much more, just so much more viable than they used to be, right? Like when you've got Retributors, like finally being able to compete, like that's a great thing about this battalion. Even if I haven't used it, I recognize that it's super strong. And of course, in other armies like Nighthawk, it's literally core.
The 10-man squad of Retributors feels really, really good. They just do absurd damage every single turn. If they charge, if they don't charge, it doesn't matter. The damage is insane. I really enjoy using 10-man Retributor squads.
No, yeah, I love this battalion for turning on a lot of our units that, if you saw our Stormcast review, we basically rated a lot of units C tier or even D tier purely based on the fact that they were almost useless to reinforce. And Paul and I have been on Anvil Strike, had been on Anvil Strike for a long time. So seeing Evocators lose that 2-inch range was pretty devastating. This brings it back at the cost of, the Galatian Veteran Battalion being, I believe it's what, two minimum? Am I
Minimum two,
right
yeah.
about this? Minimum two, yeah. So a three drop isn't, a battle regiment and maybe a couple of Galatian vets. That's not a bad idea at all. And I have a lot of Painted Sequiturs, and sometimes I just want to have fun and use them. This lets me use them, so nothing wrong about this at all. I love it.
Okay, let's go into one that I think has a little more general play for Stormcast and other armies. The Galatian Sharpshooters. This one requires three infantry, no more, no less. But it, like I said, with the Galatian veterans, it could be any infantry. It doesn't have to have a missile weapon, so you can stick some Aether Wings in there or Vanquishers or whatever you need to stick in there. The bonus you get from being in this battalion is that you ignore the Key to Victory ability, so you can shoot any champion anytime. So while people are running around with their support heroes, thinking they're very protected, all of a sudden they come up against a Stormcast list, and those long strikes just got a bounty on that hero's head, and they are gonna love shooting that guy. So, some notes here. This can be straight up useless in some matchups, right? Like if you're playing against Gargants, that's useless. If you're playing against Iron Jaws, typically not very useful because, you can shoot the War Chanters, but odds are the pigs are going to run out of range of the War Chanter anyway. He's probably not going to be near battle line. In some matchups, though, oh man, this is amazing. Against Fire Slayers, you get to shoot the Battlesmith so they can't rally back on 4-ups anymore. Against Idoneth, you can shoot the Thrallmaster so they don't get the -1 to wound effect when you charge into them. You can shoot the Chaos Lord or Sorcerer Lord if you're playing against Slaves of Darkness, and then the buffs are gone. You can shoot a Gaunt Summoner before he can use his Silver Portal thing. You can shoot the Skink Priest or Star Priest from Seraphon or the Squig Boss or War Chanters. Like, there's all kinds of heroes that are really, really good to shoot down. And having this battalion in your list makes those matchups way easier. And unfortunately, only infantry can use it, so our mounted shooting units can't. So things like Dracoths, Ballistas, Stormdrake Guard, these units can no just they can just never ignore that ability. So if you're going, heavy on those units, for example, if you're bringing a list that has four Stormdrake Guard and then some Tempesters as your shooting hammer, you just won't be able to shoot heroes anymore. And that's a tactical, basically a tactical disadvantage. You will still need to account for Lookout Sir, which is -1 hit, and other effects that block missile weapons. So, for example, if you're playing against Idoneth or Cruel Boys, this ability doesn't let you just ignore those other rules. It specifically lets you ignore the Key to Victory ability. And one last note here is that it's a little difficult to use if you're using 18-inch shooting, like Skybolt Judicators, or sorry, Crossbow Judicators. They can be a little awkward because your opponent can just stay far enough away that they just won't get shot. So good units to put in this battalion. I'd say, Vanguard Raptors with Longstrike Crossbows, Judicators with Skybolt Bows are good. And I would, even though they have some issues with 18-inch range, I still think Crossbow Judicators are a good pick to put in here. Just having the option to put your shots in and kill a hero is a good thing to have. And then, let's say you only have two units of shooting. Just fill the battalion with whatever you need. Vanquishers, Sequiturs, Aether Wings, any other infantry unit that you have that can just fill this last slot in the battalion. So we've talked about veterans. What do you guys think about sharpshooters this season in comparison to veterans?
I think sharpshooters is definitely a bit more relevant. I mean, the battalion was basically built for raptors, right? Like you've got three slots that need to be filled. They can't be mounted, so that's literally just 2x3 raptors, which we moved to because of Thunderstrike Volley, as well as your Aether Wings that you're gonna want because you have 2x3 raptors. So it's, man, it's such a good battalion for us. It does disincentivize us from taking Judicators. Just because sometimes when you're taking Judicators, usually our hammers are like our mounted hammers, right? Like we really like our Dracoths, we really like Dracolines, we like dragons, so it's tough to fit in the rest of the package. But at the same time, crossbows aren't necessarily the most viable when it comes to shooting heroes. So I think the Raptors just kind of fit in that niche really well.
Yeah, I've been finding myself filling this battalion with 10 Judicators, 3 Long Strikes, and some Aether Wings. And I find that it's a little more expensive than most of our shooting cores. Like, we typically spend around 500, 600 points on shooting, and that's a bit more than that. But I've been finding that to be a very useful amount of shooting because the crossbows murder most things, and Long Strikes can sit around sniping heroes all day. How
Yeah.
about you, Mergonk? Are you finding room in your list for sharpshooters?
Oh, most certainly. One of the things I loved doing previous edition was sniping out skink priests, sniping out key sorcery heroes, five wound heroes, because if turn one, if you don't want to just commit to killing a screen, even with your vanquisher unit, because you can just deal with it later and just want to drop some vanquishers on some objective, especially if they marked it like proving grounds or something in the last season. I just like spend my time. If they don't have any range projection, I'll take out a couple of heroes that really make their list work. I've even shot War Chanters off the board to see just how an Iron Jaws match would, fare differently if you had that ability. And yeah, so not that I need this battalion to do that, I will absolutely take it like every time I can.
The additional 3 drops is a little weird because this battalion doesn't really see a lot of play outside of Stormcast and maybe a couple other lists here and there. But it's mostly a Stormcast battalion, so it almost feels like we're going to be playing a 4-drop list and we're going to be competing with enemy 1-drop and 3-drop lists. Have you found that to be the case when you're playing?
I mean, the only people that'll give you a problem are like tech lists, right? But the way I see it, most lists are either, two drop or one or two, the one or two drop lists might give you some trouble. But even in those matchups, you just sort of need this thing to be good. It's like, if Seraphon rolls up with like a two drop list, like you still need to be able to shoot the Skink Priests in order to have any real effect against them. If OBR shows up to match, you need to shoot out the Leech Cavalos and the Soul Mason, otherwise they'll be stupid efficient all the time and they'll have all their RDP. So it's one of those things.
So even though it increases the drops, it's worth taking.
We discussed this earlier, but it increases your drops, but you'll be going first, so just plan accordingly.
Yeah, having a long strike unit within 30 inches of something valuable, especially if you have more drops, you can counter deploy, which is something we'll talk about a little bit later in the video. The last new battalion is the Galatian Command. So this requires a champion unit and 1 infantry unit, no more, no less. The infantry unit becomes a sworn bodyguard, and this again could be any infantry unit. It doesn't even have to have good melee attacks. You could make a unit of 6 long strikes your sworn bodyguard. The name is kind of a misnomer because you don't actually bodyguard for the hero. What happens when you get in this battalion is there's a new heroic action for the season that allows a hero to fight in the hero phase, and I'm actually seeing a lot of use for this. Even when it's at the top of the round, my hero's stuck in combat. Instead of trying to generate a command point, I'll try to just fight with my hero. Because the Stormcast heroes will do like 8 to 10 damage in the hero phase, but like max damage. And that can sometimes, finish stuff off before it has a chance to rally or something. So it's not a bad thing. If you're going second in the round and you use that command or and you use that heroic action in your turn, after that, you can use another heroic action and you can fight with a sworn bodyguard unit immediately. So effectively, this allows you to fight with a champion and a hammer unit of like, 5 retributors, or I mean, it could be 10 evocators. You can't have veterans and command at the same time, unfortunately. But effectively, this allows the champion and that unit to fight at the same time, which is very, very powerful. Hero phase fighting is very good in this game. It allows you to fight before you move, so you can free yourself from bad combats. You can charge into other scenarios. You can reposition onto objectives. You can just hit things before they have a chance to react. It's a very useful effect. So, some notes here. Effects that allow the champion to strike first will also allow the sworn bodyguard unit to effectively strike first, right? Because they fight at the same time in whatever order you want. So you get to kind of skip ahead with that. If you're fighting in the hero phase before movement, that's very, very useful. As I discussed, it allows you to reposition for another charge somewhere else or free up units from combat. Let's say your units are stuck in combat. your shooting units are within 3 inches of an enemy, and you can fight out of that combat and wipe the unit out, and then you're free to shoot something else. You're free to charge something else. There's a lot of utility with fighting in the hero phase. This stacks with retinue type abilities, like, for example, the Chaos Lord on foot has an ability to fight at the same time as a unit of Chosen or Warriors, and this allows him to fight with another unit. So you could, for example, in a Slaves to Darkness list, fight with a Chaos Lord, and then fight with 10 Chosen, and then fight with 10 more Chosen, because you put them in this battalion, which is just stupid. There is a battle tactic called a Matter of Honor that requires destroying a champion or bodyguard with your champion or bodyguard. And this is one of the reasons you may want to consider putting a shooting unit as a sworn bodyguard, just because you can fulfill the battle tactic a lot easier with 6 long strikes than you could with a unit of 5 retributors that have to be in melee combat, whereas long strikes can just do it from anywhere. Of the 3 seasonal battalions, this one seemed like the best one at first, just because it has this big flashy hero phase fighting thing, and then fighting in the combat phase is almost secondary to that. But as time went on, I think the fighting in the combat phase thing actually became more relevant because of how retinue abilities work and specific armies and how they use it. And the fighting in the hero phase, I haven't been able to get it to work for me that much. The positioning requirements are very strange. It's very difficult to bait an opponent into attacking into that position and also be defensive enough to survive that position. So it's been pretty awkward for me. What do you guys think about this battalion so far?
I thought that I would see this battalion a little bit more in the meta. I didn't think it was going to be, you know, like the most popular, but I was surprised to see it's not being taken very much, but there's just so much power that's in there that we maybe don't take as much advantage of, but other armies definitely can. We are one of the better armies that can use it, you know, with an Azuros or a Castellan, it just makes sense. But man, sometimes we're just really trying to get the tempo on the drops, and that's where this really kind of falters, is do you really want to spend it on this? Like, you know, could that hero be taken up by the Warlord Battalion? It matters on occasion, which we've been wanting to take 4 heroes sometimes in lists, so sometimes it doesn't really matter too much. But, I don't know, and it's something that your opponent can play around too, right? It almost feels like a bit of a gotcha too when they fall for this.
Yeah, with only a 3-inch pilot on most heroes, it can be difficult to always make this work, because your opponent can finish charges and finish pilings more than 3 inches away from the hero. And so unless they're on the front line, you can just more or less ignore it. Like, if you're behind a first row of models and your opponent just charges into a flank, you can just ignore this ability. And if you put your hero on the front line, well, unless they have a strike first effect, they'll just be hit and then die before it matters. So it can be difficult to use defensively. And offensively, that means you have to charge in 2 units, and one of them has to be a champion, which is usually a support hero. So that's a questionable value right there. So it's become difficult to utilize it. Stormcast, I think, have a very particularly cool use of it, though, which we'll talk about soon.
It's sort of by design, right? So, like, Galatian champions by design are inefficient, like, compared to units in your army. They're usually there to provide a buff. They cost more than your typical unit should. You know, a single body that's like 5 or usually 6 wounds, 4 to 6 wounds, usually depending on what faction you're in. It's not going to be very survivable. The fact that it requires you to be within 3, it's not just a command you can issue to your sworn bodyguard, makes it a little weird. It means that really the only factions that would want to take advantage of this are like factions that are extraordinarily tough and then can have retinue abilities, like you mentioned, Paul, like with the Chaos and Fire Slayers. Maybe they could have just turned this into a bodyguard, like you take a Galatian champion and that becomes like a retinue for your army, and then you can, you know, use that heroic action to fight. But as it stands, like, yeah, that's probably why not a lot of people are using it.
Yeah, I think Stormcast are one of the few armies that might consider using it. Like you said, Dan, sometimes we want to use 4 heroes, and that 4th hero is something like a Lord Castellan or a Knight Azuros, and they fit very well into this battalion. So I guess we can just talk about that combo, because, you know, as soon as the seasonal rules came out, we found this combo, and it's good. I don't think it's as good as I initially predicted, but it is still really good. So let me break down this combo for people. It is the Galatian Command Battalion, along with an artifact for Stormcast called the Quicksilver Draft. The champion in the Galatian Command Battalion uses this artifact at the end of either player's charge phase, and that hero gains the strike first effect in the following combat phase. And when the champion attacks, so does the sworn bodyguard, which means that you strike first with the hero, and then you strike first with the hammer unit. And this works even on your opponent's turn. So if your opponent charges into a block of 10 retribute, or sorry, let's say 10 protectors and an Azuros, all of that stuff gets to fight before your opponent gets to fight. And not a lot of stuff can survive combat with 10 protectors and a Knight Azuros. Now, this is only usable once per battle, which does kind of make it feel almost like a holy command that doesn't cost command points. But it is a really, really cool ability. There's some notes here because it's not as easy to use as it seems. So first off, the champion has to be within 3 inches to fight, and the bodyguard has to be wholly within 6 of the champion. So like I said before, if your enemy just finishes the charge more than 3 inches from the champion with the artifact, you just can't use this at all, because you can't pick your hero to fight. So even if you use the Quicksilver Draft in the charge phase, your opportunity to fight will happen, and then you won't be able to fight at all later, which is a bummer. And remember that you can only pile in 3 inches with the Sworn Bodyguard unit, which means if you have 1-inch range weapons and you have like a unit of 10, let's say, retributors, most of them aren't going to be able to get in. You can't be a veteran and a bodyguard at the same time. You have to pick one or the other. For most units, I would say being a bodyguard is better. Or sorry, being a veteran is better. For evocators, retributors, these units with 1-inch weapons, being a veteran and being able to fight in 2 ranks just seems to be a better way to go. But this combo is really cool because you can use it both offensively and defensively. So here's a little schematic I whipped up. When you're looking at it defensively, what you want to do is, let's say we're going to use a Knight Azuros because it's got a big base, it's 50 millimeters, so it gives you an extra little bit of reach. You can see in the diagram that there's a 2.5-inch circle and then a 3-inch circle. The 3-inch circle is your combat activation range, right? That's when, if there's an enemy within that radius, you can pick the Azuros to fight. The Azuros doesn't have to do any damage. As long as he fights, then the other unit gets to fight as well. And if your opponent is within 3, that's great, but they have to finish a charge within 0.5 inch, right? So if they want, if, let's say you put your units all the way at the 3-inch line, your opponent wouldn't be within 3 inches to fight the Azuros, right? So you have to make sure all of your units are closely huddled in 2.5 inches away from the Azuros. So what you want to do if you're playing defensively is let's say you can even drop your units in from Scions, but you want to position your hero and your infantry such that if a unit wants to charge the infantry unit, so, you know, finishing within 0.5 inch, they will end up within 3 inches of the hero. And then you can activate the Quicksilver Draft and fight with both units immediately on their turn, which is very good. So some things that I've done with this are to find a choke point in terrain where I know my opponent will be coming through just based on how the charge lanes look. I will drop in a hero with the Quicksilver Draft and I'll drop in the Galatian Command Battalion. And yeah, if they try to fight into you, well, you get to fight first, which is great. You'll probably destroy them because, you know, even something like 5 retributors will do a tremendous amount of damage. If they don't fight you, well, they've just wasted a turn of movement effectively trying to get around you. So either way, it seems like a win. Have you tried using this thing defensively?
I'll be honest, I haven't.
honestly, this... I don't know about this. No, I haven't. It's just very, really funny. I would like to try it, though.
It's a lot easier with 5 models than it is with 10. I've demonstrated yes. it here with 10 just to show that it's possible, but it is way, way easier with just 5 models. Offensively, you can also use it to charge in with the champion and a bodyguard and another hammer unit, right? Then the champion activates the Quicksilver Draft, the bodyguard fights, and then it's your turn to pick a unit because it's your turn. You pick your other hammer unit and you fight in a normal priority. So something you can do with this is charge in with an Azuros. He fights first with Quicksilver Draft. He activates the Galatian Command for his sworn bodyguard, which could be something like 10 protectors or 5 retributors. They could fight immediately. And then it's your turn and you can pick a unit of, let's say, 2 fulminators or 3 dracolines or you know, even 5 vanquishers get to fight. Being able to fight before your opponent can hit you back is a very useful thing when you're fighting offensively. That's one of the main weaknesses of Stormcast, in fact, is that we typically don't fight with multiple units at a time. We always get hit back before we have a chance to fight with a second unit. So the way we prefer fighting is to either hit really weak fighting stuff, like charging in on flanks against weaker chaff units holding objectives, or we buff up our units with crazy high defenses. And if you're using this Quicksilver Draft combo, you kind of don't have to do either of those things anymore. Can fight in a different way. So that's pretty cool. Some good units we've found for Stormcast to utilize this battalion in this combo are the Knight Azeros and the Lord Castellan. Their larger base sizes allow more models to fit wholly within range. So when you use those heroes in particular, you can use reinforced units, for example, 10 Evocators. You know, even though they don't get to fight with two ranks, the Mortal Wound Blast is huge. If somebody tries charging into 10 Evocators and they get hit by that lightning arc, they're not walking away from that fight. Like, it's brutal. 10 Protectors are a very similar story. 10 Protectors can use 4-star Soul Maces with Unleash Thy Hatred Holy Command to deal just explosive mortal wounds once per game. But even then, something smaller like 5 Retributors or 5 Evocators, those work just as well for this battalion. And finally, that brings us to, I think what the whole point of this video was, is to answer the question, how many drops? This is a question we get all the time, is how many drops are the right amount of drops? And the answer is always, well, it depends, right? Because it's such a complicated topic. It always depends on what you're trying to do, what your opponent's trying to do, what you expect to play against, what your preferred strategy is. There's all kinds of things that go into this decision. So let's try to break down this in a more or less scientific way. I think for many armies, the one drop with a single battle regiment battalion, I think we consider that the default, right? We just assume that army is going to go one drop, and then anything you add to that in terms of battalions is an addition to that. Right. So, for example, if you do a battle regiment and a Galatian command battalion, that becomes one drop plus two for a 3-drop total. Let's say you do battle regiment with sharpshooters. Well, that's now plus three for 4 drops total. If you do a battle regiment with command and sharpshooters, well, that's a 6-drop total. Right. This is just an easy way to consider how many drops your list is going to be, is that these battalions are adding drops to it, your standard one drop. And there are advantages, actually, to having more deployments. We've sort of discussed them, but let's put them all in a single section here. More deployments gives you more information on your opponent's deployment. So, for example, they put down their wizards in certain areas. You can then put down your wizards in order to be in unbinding range, because if they have less drops than you, they may be considering going first, and you want the option to be able to unbind them. This is especially useful if you have something like a Knight Incantor, which automatically unbinds a spell once per game. So you can deny that Mystic Shield from a Slaves to Darkness hero or the Demonic Speed. You can deny Protection of Hish or Speed of Hish from a Lumineth player. And that can potentially just win you the game because it snowballs into such a tactical advantage. You can deploy your shooting out of range of their shooting. So if you're playing against Cruel Boys, they put down their whole army and they have their bolt boys at a specific range. Well, you know, they're only shooting 24 inches. They don't have the option to teleport a unit. So you just deploy your shooting units 24.1 inches away. And then no matter what they do, they just can't reach you. So it's useful to counter deploy units. If they set up a strong hammer unit on one side, well, you can set up your strong hammer unit on another side, or you can put your very defensive unit in the way of their hammer unit. Let's say they put down a squad of 6 for Rangard right in the middle. Well, you know that they can go either side, so you put a unit of 4 Fulminators with a Lord Castellan in there in order to contest that. All kinds of decision-making is improved when you have more deployments than your opponent. Information is power. More drops means you can take advantage of battalions that give you more value. You can use units that require a battalion like the Veterans Battalion in order to get more attacks when they're reinforced, like Evocators or Retributors. You can shoot champions if you have the Sharpshooters Battalion. You can fight in the Hero Phase and use some combat tricks with Galatian Command. You can get extra command points with the Command Entourage and Warlord, or just more enhancements. Stormcast like having more enhancements. We have very powerful Holy Command abilities that we like to have more than one of. Being able to choose both Call for Aid and Thunderbolt Volley is really, really good. So what's the correct number of drops? Well, like I said, it depends on your list. And against some matchups, it can really help. Let's say you play against Lumineth a lot, and you know they really want a one-drop battalion to get all their defensive spells off. Well, if you're also playing a one-drop battalion, it's basically a coin flip. And that coin flip is better than not having a coin flip, because if you can go first and deal really, really significant damage to the Lumineth player before they get their defensive abilities up, you can maybe cripple them to a point where they can't recover over the next 2 turns. Stormcast in particular have long range shooting and really high defenses. We can build lists that are just fine playing first or second. So you can have a lot of drops and your opponent can force you to go first and you say, okay, great. I've got 30 inch shooting. I don't have to commit to a mid-board engagement. I have a Knight Cantor with a dispel scroll. I'm feeling good. I can handle a double turn, you know.
Yeah, I think that's probably the key there is how is your list built, right? Like if you're playing something like one of my dragons lists that rely on tempo, you generally want to be a one drop. But if you're playing a list that has some more controlling elements to it, that has a Knight Enchanter, that has I mean you're gonna be Scions pretty much most of the time. So you know, even crossbows are effectively long range shooting in the first turn, right? Because you can drop down where you need to be if you've got the speed to keep up and protect them afterwards. So, you know, even when you are building your list and you're like, oh, I'm gonna build a one drop, you do still need to build your list because to know that, hey, it's still gonna be a 50-50 into a lot of these matchups. So having something like an Enchanter and all of that is still important to keep in mind. And if you're already keeping that in mind, you know, maybe you consider some of the other value that can come to the army. So it does depend, you know. On some seasons, we want certain battalions, right? Remember back in first 3.0, right? We, out of the Annihilana list, really wanted the what was it? And ignoring monster actions. Gosh, I've already forgotten because
Hunters of
it
the
has been so
Heartlands.
long. Hunters of the
Hunters of the
Heartland. Thank
Heartland,
you.
yes.
Yeah, right. Like you know, there's some battalions. You know, maybe this season it's not as crazy, right? Sharpshooters is a big one, right? If you're running the 2x3 Raptors or you know the 10 crossbows Raptor unit and an Aetherwing, or even if you're not running the Aetherwing, it's still a valuable battalion to have. So, you know, really consider it with your list, right? Like, have I built for going second anyway, or made being made to go first, right? Being made, I guess, drop second. Have I built for that anyway? And since I've already built for it, am I okay with that in general? So, you know, try to open up your list building avenues for sure.
So Mergonk, how many drops do you think is the right number of drops for yourself?
Well, typically lately, I've been only going either three or four. I don't ever want to be a one drop. I just don't care about it enough. I think in Stormcast, unless I'm playing like a Stormdrake Guard list, there's some instances I think one drop would be really nice to have. Like if I was running Drakkhoth Blizzard, I could see four Fulminators that want a lot of buffs. Actually, four Fulminators might be fine against shooting. They'll probably make you go first. So those you can afford to be three, four drop. But I think really what we want is Bat-Reg plus Glacian Sharpshooters, which puts us to a four. I could see some armies going just Glacian Veteran Bat-Reg for three. So I think that's where I'm landing right now. So even with my Annihilator lists, I used to go for the extra enhancement, but I think I'd much rather have the ability to decide priority. But unfortunately, I really need sharpshooters there, so it has to be a four drop.
Personally, I like going for as much value as possible. I feel comfortable playing top of round one or bottom of round one. I feel fine going first and then bracing for a double turn. And I think part of that is just, from experience, right? I played so many matches that I feel comfortable with that. For newer players, I would suggest going for fewer drops, because counter deployment is only as useful as your knowledge of the opponent's army. Right, like if you don't know the threat ranges on stuff, it doesn't matter where you deploy, basically. So I personally, I just like having more and more information. It lets me have the best decisions, and then the extra value is really just icing on the cake, like an extra Holy Command or an Arcane Tome on top of a Quicksilver Draft. All these things just add up to little advantages that I can utilize throughout the game. How about yourself, Dan? How many drops for you?
For me, I do play a lot of dragon lists. I do like my one drop because of that. Just because I get it's not really a matter of like I need to get the first turn, but I just get so much control that the upside, right, on the coin flip, right, 50% of the time on that, or when I do beat out, you know, other multi-drop lists, the upside is just so much that it works out, right? And dragons can take a hit if you go second and they've got long range spells. You know, I'm ignoring that on a four up. I'm planning on dropping my crossbows anyway. I'm planning on dropping Gardas anyway. You know, like there's all these things that I can, you know, do. So, and even being made to go first, generally I just, you know, put up my buffs, move up where I'm going to be anyway, and present my unanswerable question. So it's definitely just a matter of list composition. For me, it's that. Otherwise, if I'm playing something like a Drakkhoth list, you know, I'm gonna be okay with having that sharpshooters just because Raptors work so well with Drakkhoths. It combos so well that I feel it's worth it. And especially now we're definitely taking more buffs. We're taking like Castellan, for example. And the Knight Enchanter has really gone up in value. So, you know, I'm okay with going first in those cases and being able to unbind things, or going second if I need to interrupt an enemy cast that I need not to happen, right? Just because dragons can ignore spells on a 4-up that are offensive, you still want to unbind that 5-up Lumineth ward where you can.
Oh yeah, or a Mystic Shield even, right? Like that's one of the deadliest buffs in the game right now is Mystic Shield.
Honestly.
All right, well let's take a look at some example lists from our previous video, which was list building, and kind of run through the thought process of why we ended up with the number of drops we ended up with in each one. So the first one here is the Drakoth Blizzard. This list uses Fulminators and Crossbow Adjudicators. Both of these are like my favorite units because they do the most damage, and damage is utility. Right, it's not like you're playing World of Warcraft and you're trying to top the damage meter, right? It's like in this game, damage is utility. Doing more damage is a useful thing to have. But these two units have problems, right? Fulminators only move 10 inches and Crossbow Adjudicators only shoot 18 inches. So if you're going at the top of round 1 and your opponent deploys far back and forces you to go first, that's a real problem because this kind of list can't handle taking that much damage and losing that much board position. So to help with that weakness, when you combine these two units together with a battle regiment, you will outdrop your opponents many, many times and then force them to go first, force them out of their initial castle, let's say, setup, and then into the midfield where you can then charge in on them with your fulminators or at least shoot them with your long strikes, or sorry, with your crossbow adjudicators. And then to help, round this list out, because if you're going, let's say you want to go first, right? Enemy double turns are nasty, so a Frostheart Phoenix in here just makes a lot of sense, giving enemies -1 to wound, stacking that with your Lord Castellan, getting +1 save on the Fulminators. All of a sudden, your melee hammer is a very, very tough melee hammer. The Battle Mage of Hish here, it helps with that as well, -1 hit, and the Lord Relictor, Divine Light, having 18-inch range just fits into this same kind of threat range package that you're dealing with here. So this list, deceptively, it's sneaky, but it all fits together into the same kind of threat range. And the battle regiment, I think, is what makes it viable, because if you couldn't force your opponent to go first, then this would have a real problem with threat ranges. Another example would be the It's Hammer Time list. This list is centered around buffing 10 Retributors and then unleashing them in the midfield with both offensive and defensive buffs. Since we're using 10 Retributors, we need the Veterans Battalion because it allows them to fight in 2 ranks. Which means we're not going for one drop here. We're not going to have just a single battle regiment. And since one drop is no longer an option, then let's go with maximum value, right? Let's bring in a Warlord Battalion to get another Holy Command. Let's bring in Sharpshooters so that our shooting units can pick off heroes as they need to. This is just a consequence of having to pick Retributors. It's very difficult to use Retributors as your primary hammer if you don't have the Veterans Battalion. And once you have the Veterans Battalion, well, the difference between 4 drops and 10 drops is not that big a deal, especially when you have some long strikes in there to help supplement that. This list, with more playtesting, it may end up swapping one of these heroes out for a Knight and Cantor. That's totally an option to help deal with double turns and all the powerful magic we're seeing right now. But yeah, you can see how the number of drops were determined here by simply, well, we want to use Retributors, therefore we have at least 4 drops, therefore we might as well just go up to 10. And the last example I want to use here is the Glaive Rush list. So this list is centered around buffing 10 Protectors and using Translocation and Wild Form like the Hammer Time list. However, unlike the Hammer Time list, Protectors already have 3-inch range, so they don't need the Veterans Battalion. So this list can keep it tighter. It can go, you could just do a Battle Regiment here. It gets a little bit squirrely because you want to use all 4 of these heroes, right? You want the Translocation, you want the Gardas to have the 5-up board, you want the Battle Mage for Wild Form, and you want a Lord Castellan so that you can give them +1 save to be as durable as possible. Since you end up with 4 heroes, well, that's a perfect number for a Galatian Command and a Battle Regiment. And since you don't need Veterans, you can just stick the Protectors in a Galatian Command, you give the Lord Castellan a Quicksilver Draft, and you teleport him up the board with Tunnelmaster. So this ended up with 3 drops, which a list like this really does want to choose who goes first, and 3 drops isn't ideal, but against certain matchups, I think this is just fine. Against most matchups, I should say, this will end up being just fine. Losing priority to very specific one-drop lists should be okay for this matchup, because Lumineth are not going to kill those Protectors. They just don't have the damage output for it. And that's it. That concludes this episode. Hopefully this has been useful for you guys, both new players and for veteran players, just coming back into Age of Sigmar Second Edition, or Age of Sigmar Season 2. I want to give a shout out to you guys for watching. Thank you very much. And also want to give a shout out to our Patreon supporters. Thank you very much for continuing to finance our wacky antics here on the podcast. If you think we missed anything or our analysis is lacking in some way, then please leave a comment below the video. We don't want to be right about everything. We want to know where we are wrong, because we just want a good conversation. We want to keep that conversation rolling.
Yeah, definitely keep check out the Discord. It's a great time. We're just talking AOS all the time in there. There's a list for everyone in there, and you know, even if it's not something that we've generally covered in our big list review, there's so many people just brewing things, and you know, it's awesome to see the battle reports. I think the battle reports is probably one of my favorite things about the Discord, is seeing you guys take all of this theory and put it into practice, and it's cool to see our community. Thank you guys for everyone that posts in there, and make sure to support Kaiju Gaming Lounge.
Yeah, and if you feel like it, consider supporting our antics by becoming a member on YouTube or joining us on patreon.com/thestormkeep. Upcoming videos. We have a How to Counter Tzeentch video in the works. We have a special guest lined up to talk about that. I think that's going to be a very helpful video right now. Even though Tzeentch isn't, you know, dominating the metagame, kind of like what we predicted, it is a very, very strong list, and being able to pick it apart and deal with it, know what you're getting into, will be very helpful. We are also working on our first list spotlight video, looking at the Stormcast beginner competitive list based on what you guys wanted to see from the last video. There's more stuff in the works, but it's a little too soon to talk about it. So that's it for today. Thank you everybody for watching, and have a good one.
See you guys.
See ya.